No matter how you look at it, there's a crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border, a humanitarian crisis. The numbers of migrant families and unaccompanied children crossing the border have skyrocketed in the past year. And on Tuesday, a 16-year-old Guatemalan boy died in federal custody in Texas. He was the third migrant child to die in the care of the U.S. government since December. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials had brought the boy to a shelter in Brownsville, Texas. Reporter Nina Lacani has been following this story closely from Mexico City. Nina, what do we know about the 16-year-old Guatemalan and his family? Who is he and where is he from?
He is from a rural community called Camotan, which is in Chiquimula, which is in the east part of Guatemala. It's a region which is incredibly poor. It's very, very dry. It rains very little and has been really severely affected by the drought that the whole region is currently suffering. And we know that he left hoping to be reunited with an older brother who has been in Texas for some time. We know that he crossed the border around the El Paso region and was detained by Customs and Border Protection on the 19th of April and then transferred by ICE to this privately run detention center in Brownsville the day after on the 20th of April. And the Guatemalan consul in McAllen has told me, who have been in contact with the boy's parents, that they don't want his name released. They don't want their name released. I think they're worried about the press descending on their community, but also about the consequences for their elder boy who is currently in Texas. I do believe that the U.S. authorities will release his name at some point, but, you know, the Guatemalan authorities have decided to respect the wishes of the family and not release his name at this time.
So we understand that this boy, he had been taken to the shelter on the 20th and that people at the shelter took him to a hospital on April 21st because he had a fever and he was treated and then brought back to the shelter. What then brought him back to the hospital?
Well, on the 21st at the shelter, he presented with fever, chills and a severe headache, I now know. He was taken to an emergency room where he was given some tests and observed and then later sent back to the shelter. He deteriorated overnight. So the following day, on the 22nd, he was returned by ambulance to the emergency room. And from the emergency room, he was transferred to a children's hospital in Corpus Christi. And from what I've learned today is that he was diagnosed with having a brain infection, an infection in the frontal lobe. And I don't know exactly when, but he was quite quickly transferred to intensive care at the Driscoll Children's Hospital. And they tried various types of treatment, including surgery, I understand, to alleviate the pressure that was being caused by the infection. But all their efforts failed, and he died just over a week later on Tuesday the 30th.
And during the time he was being cared for at that hospital, some of his relatives were allowed to visit him. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I understand from the consul that they were able to communicate with his brother, his older brother, who he was trying to reunite with, who's in Texas, and who visited him whilst he was in intensive care. I understand that the family in Chiquimula, his parents, were offered the chance of trying to get a humanitarian visa in order to visit him in hospital. But they themselves, I'm told by the consul, declined this offer because of their advanced years and that they're quite infirm themselves. But his older brother did see him in hospital.
Now, it seems like some important decisions were made at the shelter that he was detained in. That shelter is privately run by a group called Southwest Key. What do we know about that U.S. government contractor?
So Southwest Key was founded by a Mexican-born man, and they have over 5,000 beds in, I think, 24 shelters, mainly across the southern sort of states. And Southwest Key has collected at least $1.7 billion in federal grants over the past decade, I think over $600 million just in the last year or two, and that's according to a New York Times investigation. There have been lots of controversies around this group, specifically around oversight and accountability, and its founder was forced to resign just a few weeks ago amid questionings over its handling of these government funds.
Reporter Nina Lacani in Mexico City. Thanks a lot, Nina.
Thank you.